Hello and welcome to the 44th episode of the Thai Football Podcast with me, a relaxed, refreshed Dale Farrington.
And me, quite a sore Rob Bernard.
We can't start this week's programme without mentioning your fantastic efforts and achievement yesterday. For those who aren't aware, which can't be many people, you walked just over 21 kilometres from your home to the Sisaket United versus Bangkok FC match for charity yesterday. So do you want to tell us all about it, how it went?
Yeah, I'll be honest, mate. It was harder than I thought it was going to be. The local village school here faces closure, and many of my friends around the world have been very kind to sponsor me for the walk on Sunday. Split it up into bits, obviously plenty of stops for water and cold towel and bits to eat. And I'd like to give a couple of big shout-outs to my friends John Thornback and Ian Liddell, who kindly collected the money into their accounts to help me out. And, of course, my wife, Dow, stopping off every so often and making sure I was all right. That last bit, when I saw the floodlights, Dale, I can't tell you how happy I was.
I can imagine. It is a wonderful thing and a great thing to do as well. And it's nice to give something back to the community in which you live, isn't it?
They couldn't be kinder to me since we've moved up here, honestly. They've adopted me as one of their own.
It's great what you've done. Absolutely fantastic. And people can still donate, can they?
They can until next Saturday, yes, the 28th.
Okay, so you can DM us for details of how to pay. If you follow us on Twitter or you follow Rob on Twitter, just send us a direct message and we'll let you know how to do it. It's for a great cause, and I'm in awe of you, Rob, this morning, to be honest.
That's very kind of you, and thank you so much, everybody who has donated. It really is appreciated. We'll be handing the money over at a presentation on the 1st of May. The head teacher's got an inkling that what's happening, and she was just overcome.
21 kilometres. What's that? It's about 2 miles, is it? All joking aside, mate, well done. I'm really proud of you.
I wouldn't advise, by the way, walking to Tamasat, as somebody suggested, especially in 39-degree heat.
And certainly not from rural Sisaket either.
By the way, I will be walking to the away leg, but it'll be to, as far as the cabana with a crate of beer.
Anyway, if you've got enough energy left, we'll crack on with this week's show. We've got a lot to get through. So we're going to start in the top tier. We've got Reza up with his report from Ratchaburi against Buriram United. Now, before the game, I picked this out as a tricky little test for Buriram, but I think they came through it with flying colours. Let's hear what Reza's thoughts on the game were.
Tied to the podcast. Match reports.
Assalamualaikum. Sawadikap. Good evening. We are back with the Thai League after a long period of Songkran break. We are in Ratchaburi's Dragon Solar Park. The match is between Ratchaburi FC against the treble winners, defending champions, Buriram United. The game has ended 4-2 Buriram, and Ratchaburi scores only one. From the start, looks like Ratchaburi unable to compete with Buriram, considering they also playing without their main striker, who is on yellow card accumulation. With that, Ratchaburi get pressured by Buriram since the first minute, and Buriram able to score in the early stage of the match. Then another 10 minutes or so, Buriram double the lead to 0, and the game continues until halftime. In the second half, Ratchaburi eager to get back and then able to score through the main man Tyron. After he became the only key player remaining after in the first half, Jakapan and Chotipat were injured and has to be replaced. After the goal by Ratchaburi, Buriram defend, but still Ratchaburi with their chances unable to capitalize, and they conceded another 2 goals and the game ended 4-1. A sad night, but considering it's Buriram, you just have to accept. Come on, you Dragons.
It sounds disappointed, does poor Reza. We all have a reality check now and again, my friend. And that's a big win, really, for Buriram. I watched the game on Thursday between Bangkok United and Lampung when Bangkok United slipped up. And then Porter were the only other real outside challengers against Chiang Rai on Friday. Both good games to watch, by the way. But that's a big win for Buriram. That set down some real intent. And to be fair to Bangkok United, getting that late winner as they did in their game, it's still up for grabs.
like I said in my introduction, you know, I had this down as a possible defeat for Buriram United, but a 4-1 win sends out a bit of a message, I think. And it's hard to see them slipping up now. The two most difficult games they've got left are probably Port and Mungtong United, and they're both at home. So you've still got to fancy Buriram United on their own patch. Bangkok United have got a slightly easier run in, I would say. So it's just down to them. All they can do now is keep winning and hope that Buriram slip up.
Well, I wouldn't rule out Mungtong off third place, you know. I know that our friend the other week was complaining about the style of football, but they are getting results.
They've been fantastic, haven't they? It has kind of slipped under the radar a little bit, their climb up the table. Very impressive. You know, a lot of focus has been on Ratbury and their second leg performance. But yeah, all credit to Mungtong. They've had a fantastic second leg, and I think it does bode well for next season, doesn't it?
Definitely. Stability is the important thing there. Stick with what you got. Flash for show, points for door.
Hi, I'm Sabina. I'm listening to a Thai football podcast.
Anyway, continuing with our top flight summary, big game at the weekend. Well, big game for me at the weekend was BG Patum United against Chonburi. We had two people there for the podcast. Tim, who's got some opinions on the payment method and pricing at BG. So we'll hear that first. And then following Tim, we've got a great interview with Ryan Walters. Now, a lot of you will know Ryan from his work with Backheel Media and the AZN Football Podcast. He's someone I've long admired and listened to. He's very passionate about football in Southeast Asia. So two different views of that match and in particular the stadium experience at BG this season.
Tied to the podcast. Match reports.
Yeah, so we've finally arrived at Bangkok Glass, and we've had a bit of a rigmarole with getting our tickets because you have to download their app now, and then you have to fill in with your passport, and then you've got to book your tickets, then you get logged out, and then you have to go back in, and they have a QR code of your tickets. I mean, we need a little bit of help because we were trying to do it for our bank accounts, and the QR codes, you know, don't work in that way. They only seem to work, or they only work with Line and going through there. But it was easy enough to pay, to be honest. And then we sort of had tickets, so we had two tickets, and they were 250 baht each in the away end, which is stuck right in the corner, no cover. And then I just happened to ask the girl how much were the home tickets. And the home tickets in the main stand, best seats you can get, 100 baht undercover. So as away fans, we're paying 2.5 times what the local fans are getting, and we're getting a severely inferior product. And this sort of really leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And secondly, we've just got a beer now, so the beers are 70 baht, they're Leo beers in a big BG glass. Fabulous setup they've got here with the food. You buy your money in tokens, and then you just wander around, hang your tokens in. There's an absolutely plethora of food and different choices that you can have. Claire's poking her nose up at the insects. But to be honest, you've got a choice of insects, not just one. There are a choice of four different insects that you've got. Yeah, there's lots and lots of different food that you've got. So, the club is definitely on the up at the moment. So, half-time, Bangkok Glass 1, Chonburi 0. Chonburi have played okay. I mean, we've defended deep, and we've attacked on the counter-attack very, very rapidly. Really not until the last 4 or 5 minutes did Bangkok Glass have any decent chances. And one of those, they did hit the crossbar. But to be honest, all the other chances have been Chonburi. Just some pretty woeful defending for the own goal. Well, unbelievable defending for the first goal. Both central defenders should have been hauled off instantaneously. One of them for knocking it past the keeper, and the other one for not calling. It was just beyond poor. Feel sorry for the goalkeeper, feel sorry for a lot of the Chonburi players who put in quite a bit of effort. So Claire, what have you been doing today?
Three guesses. Crochet mostly, and now I'm just browsing Instagram.
But really, we want to know, how is the crocheting going?
Yeah, it's coming along pretty nicely. I've spent quite a bit of time over the holiday doing it.
And most of the season, it has to be.
Oh, yeah, and of course, most of the season. Yeah, it's coming along quite well. It should definitely be ready well in time to take back at Christmas to leave at my mum's for my sister.
Thought there was 3 minutes of added time. We're into 6 minutes. Actually, no, we're into 7 minutes now. Point for John Marie. We never, ever, ever get any points from Bangkok Clan. 1-1. That is it. This is a big point game this whole season.
So, welcome along, Ryan. It's absolutely fantastic to have you on the programme. I've been a long time admirer of your work, so it's great to actually get to speak to you at last.
Oh, well, that's a flattering intro. Thank you. Yeah, it's good to finally be on. It's good to be in country and talking about Thai football as always.
So on Saturday, you were at the BG Stadium for the BG Pattam United versus Chonburi game. Was this the first time you've been to the ground?
No. So I got to know this ground pretty well back in 2022. I was here back when we were doing PCR tests and quarantining in a hotel room overnight and doing all that. And I was covering the ACL group stage back then because the mighty Jeonnam Dragons, my team from Korea, the second division team, we won the FA Cup in 21. So we had the chance to play in ACL, which is still wild to me. And as luck would have it, it was hosted up in Pathum Thani. So I was up there for all six of those group stage matches. So I got to know the stadium pretty well back then. And it was one of those ones where when you watch on TV, you kind of looked at that fourth side and you're like, well, what is going on with these banners and all that? And it was the same in person. But the stadium itself was lovely, which I was a little bit surprised by back then, just because, like I said, when you see it on TV, it doesn't look as modern and as efficient and as well run as it is. So I was really impressed with it back then, but it felt like something was missing.
Something was missing, and that missing piece of the jigsaw has now been put in place, which is the fourth stand. So the weekend, you would have got the chance to see it. It's been creating a huge stir on social media, and the few people that I've spoken to have been there are really impressed with it. So what were your impressions? I mean, you can judge it against your previous visits, and now I'd say the ground is pretty much complete.
I absolutely love it. They just really did a great job with it. I think even throwing a temporary stand over there without cover would have done a job, right? Like, it would have closed in the stadium. It would have looked nice, but they did this thing properly. It's covered. It has some nice plush VIP seats in the middle that aren't quite the luxury box seats that are on the south end. So you can have a different kind of experience. And the thing that I really like seeing about it is that that's where the majority of people sit now, is in that stand. So things look a lot better on TV now, where instead of having banners in a field and some apartments and a Lotus's sign that you can see in the background, you see fans cheering. Again, that's where most people sat. And it's a lovely view from over there because you can watch the sunset behind the stadium from that side. So getting in, especially at the time of day that it was on Saturday, the sunset's behind the stadium and then the lights are on and you've just got a really great atmosphere. And that fourth side helps finally close in the noise, which could just kind of dissipate out before. I mean, I think they have like three or four different supporters groups that might need to get a little unified and be in one side, but that's for another time, that conversation. But the fourth stand itself, they really, really did it properly. Behind it, there are a bunch of food trucks out there. Previously, when you come into the stadium, for those that haven't been, on the west side, there's a big parking lot and there's a bunch of food vendors out there, a bunch of sponsored tents, things like that. And I thought that that's kind of where they would keep everything, but they've done a really good job of making the new east stand just as appealing with all the food trucks behind there. There's this little mini merch tent over there and the unfinished corner, which I know a lot of folks don't like unfinished corners in stadiums, but I kind of like it for this one because they put in a bunch of picnic tables there and you can just sit and have a beer and watch the match from the corner before you go to your seats. It's really, really well done.
I think that is something they do very well at BG. As you said, the food stalls used to be behind the big main stand, and that was always a really good setup. And they've got the cafe there. I don't know if you had a chance to go in the BG cafe, but that's a great facility. So it's good to hear that it's kind of migrated over there as well. And you mentioned the corners. Now, one thing I like about the BG Stadium is it's modern, it's new, But all the stands are different. It's not an identikit stadium, which is always the danger when people are building new grounds. They tend to look a bit soulless. But there's certainly character, isn't there, at BG?
I think that's a great way to put it. I mean, and the thing is, those corner seats, a lot of times, so for folks who don't know, I was based in South Korea for 8 years, covering K-League there for the majority of that time. And I mean, the biggest problem in Korea is that they're playing in former World Cup stadiums that are just too big. And what they did to try to alleviate that, and this was really smart, is that in those corners, they would put in tables in some of them. Ulsan has a corner where you can camp for the day, and like they have tents set up and everything like that. So some teams have gotten really creative with it, but that also just shows that those corner seats aren't super desirable. I think not having them, I think, like you say, it makes it unique. I love when you walk into this stadium, they have that massive graffitied rabbit on the south stand. I think it sets the tone really well. And like I said, I think they've done a great job with the new stand and using that corner in a way that it doesn't feel thrown in or disused. It feels like it's kind of part of the setup. And I walked all around the stadium way too many times and up and down too many stairs on Saturday. But as you're walking around, you can see in and get a little glimpse of the pitch and you can hear the noise. I actually really like it.
Did you get a chance to walk to the very top of the stand behind one of the goals? I mean, that's quite a long way up. They have lifts in there as well, I think.
I am too much of a completionist when it comes to filming things, so I had to get up there for that. And I really wanted the shot of following some fans up the stairs. So I went up all of those stairs. My little Fitbit was very happy with me, but my legs weren't. But even up there, and like, this is the other thing that I was really impressed with, because when I was here in 2022, it was right at the end of COVID time. So we weren't as social in the stands as we are now, right? And as we were before, I think we were still masked up at most of those games, and there was still some social distancing a lot of times. So to go up there this time, and at the top of the supporter section, there's the safe standing there, which is, again, it's not a given in a lot of stadiums. It's nice that that's there. And at the very top, there are families with blankets and picnics just spread out, having a great time watching the game from up there. So it was yet another one where, like, no matter what kind of experience you want, you can get it there very easily.
And the crowd too, there were, what, 10,500 there on Saturday, which, considering BG haven't had the greatest of seasons, was very impressive. I think there was quite a decent away following as well, which we'll come to later. But that's the kind of thing we're looking for, isn't it? You were saying about the, you know, the whole occasion. You know, people can choose how they want to see the game. Each stand offers you a different view, obviously, in the first instance, but also a different experience, doesn't it? And I think it's good that people do have this choice of where they want to watch the game. I'm quite interested in the camping angle. I'm not sure if it would work in Thailand. It does get very, very hot. I have camped in Thailand and it was very uncomfortable. But I think camping at a football match would be quite appealing to me, I think. Do you think you could have a word with someone from BG and see if they can incorporate that, please?
Get that set up in one of the corners. I mean, to me, this is what you do with the running track at all of the stadiums that have running tracks, to do something fun with it. I mean, yeah, look, when I saw, I think Ulsan did it first, and then I believe Suwon had something like that as well, Suwon Blue Wings. Camping is just, it's part of Korean culture. So it wasn't, the first time I saw it was like, well, is that a tent in the stadium? What? But then you kind of get used to it. And then on a day when it's, you know, early in the season or late in the season when it's 10, 12 degrees at kickoff and you can hop into that tent, or even on a hot day and you can hop in there and get some sun and get a breeze, or get out of the sun rather, and get a breeze going through. And to me, again, with those World Cup stadiums, they had to get creative, because a 60,000 person stadium for almost any team in the world is just way too much. So they just ripped up some seats and got creative with it. But I think if you're building from the ground up, which one of the fun things of going in and seeing the VIP suites and all the other areas of BG Stadium is that they've got photos of what it looked like when they first started. And it's just the west stand, and not even as big as it is now, definitely not as nice as it is now, just a tiny little west stand that just said BG in the seats, and then it gets built up to what it is now. So it was fun to see that, the history of it there. But again, being purpose-built, and like you were saying as well, with the stands being separate, I kind of like that, because then, I mean, it makes security's job way easier. You know, the fans aren't necessarily going to be hopping over a fence when it's a completely different stand a lot of times. I mean, here in the south end, or the north end rather, together. They are still mixed with a smaller section for the away fans, but I think it just makes game day management so much easier when people can't walk from one side of the stadium to the other. And like you were saying as well, it offers a completely different experience based on where you're sitting, which I think you don't get in a stadium that's fully complete, which is obviously that's the preference. You know, we do want that, but I think there's something to be said for making this one a little bit more unique like that. And who knows, maybe we'll get some tents in one of the corners eventually.
I'd like to think so. I'd certainly sign any petition that was angling for that. Now, one complaint I did have, and this is from my friend Tim, who went as a Chomberee fan. Well, there were two issues mainly. One was the payment for tickets. At BG, I don't know if you're aware of this, they have this online system where you have to have an app on your phone and you have to buy the tickets on there. There's no, I think it's pretty much a cashless ground now. And I think that applies. Certainly the last time I went, there was an issue with food and drink, them not accepting cash. And also the cost. It was 100 baht for the home fans and away fans were charged 250. And you've just said that they shared a stand with the home fans in that corner. They've moved from one side to the other this season. I don't know where you stand on this. It is a great experience. And like I said, Tim loves going there and I love going there. But it's one of these things that is a bit of an irritant to me. You know, why should we pay 2.5 times as much as the home fans?
Yeah, no, I mean, to me, my first thought on it, and this is showing the side that I, you know, I'm in social media, documentaries, the media side of things. So to me, immediately what they're thinking is that we'll charge the away fans more so we don't have as many away fans as home fans. That's a marketing issue. That's not a fan issue, in my opinion. If you're worried about one section of your stadium being louder than the home section, get better at marketing your club. I don't think price gouging away fans who've already had to pay to get down there is the way to solve that issue as much as just embracing your own community and your own supporters and listening to them and what they want and making sure you have a loud match day experience, which this isn't bad mouthing BG specifically. I think they do a good job with their supporters. It's more that idea behind charging away fans more. I don't like that. On the other side of it, so a lot of the running track stadiums in Korea, like FC Anyang, for example, they built 3 temporary stands, but they didn't build one for the away fans. So the away fans still have that running track and miles between them and the pitch. I think that's clever. I like that. Like, you want to come to the game? You want to be loud? Cool. You need to work really hard for the players to hear you as much as they can hear our home fans. That's a clever way to do that, I think. But this, like you say, the sight lines are great everywhere, but I just can't. Yeah, I also can't really get behind charging away fans more because to me, you want a really robust traveling community of fans. You want away support to be good because then the home supporters know they need to show up in numbers to be louder. So to me, I don't think that solves the issue as much as, again, just marketing could solve that a little bit better.
I agree. I think it's something that really does annoy me. And like you were saying, it's interesting your point on the away fans in Korea at certain grounds being miles away from the action, because that's certainly true at 1 or 2 grounds in Thailand. My own club, Chonburi, do it, and the views aren't great. And it is hard to get an atmosphere going. And you know, when you're playing in front of massive crowds and you want that home support to try and influence the game, then yes, I get it. I think certainly here where the crowds aren't as big as they get in Korea, it's just a case of fairness for me. I'd like to see away fans treated the same as home fans. People just want to go and have a fun day out. And I think it probably puts people off as well, knowing that they're going to be paying 2.5 times as much as the home fans. You know, on top of all the traveling expenses as well.
Again, at BG, at least you're getting a decent view. I think one of the first games I went to here in Thailand was a police match. And I went there, I think they were playing Prachuap at the time. And I flipped over at the away stand and it's straight up in the bushes. Like there's a tree that's got a branch that's in the way of this one little temporary stand that's beyond the running track and everything else. And I was like, oh, okay. And I mean, there were only maybe 25, 30 fans there, but they were making noise. They were doing what they could. But like, that was one of like, oh, you could have done a little bit more for them. Like, again, they're in your stadium. They're going to buy food from your vendors. They're putting money into things locally. Just Again, you want to put them far away, support it. But behind some trees and on like this rickety little temp stand, that was a little bit of a surprise, that one was.
I mean, I think, you know, pricing aside, BG have got it right. It is a very popular place to visit. And I'd say now it's certainly in the top three grounds in the country. Well, now they've got all the off-field things in place. It's just the playing side of it. And I think once that clicks, you know, they're going to be up there as one of the big teams constantly challenging for honours, aren't they? That's certainly my impression looking in.
I mean, I think so. And I think to me, it's a model of how to do things in a lot of ways. I mean, look, yeah, you've got a big company that's pumping in a bunch of money, right? But they don't have to do things the way that they did. And they built out this stadium and they built out this fan experience. And I mean, for me, that's the biggest side of all of this is that you can have a lovely ground and still have a crap time at the game. But they've made sure that they've done really well with it. The fan shop also was rammed with people. Like, it was just packed before the game. Everybody's buying kits. They know where it is. It's easy to find. All that stuff really matters. And I think they'll get everything on the field right eventually. On the pitch, I think they'll be fine. But then you look at a team like Bangkok United. They're a great team this year. They've been all sorts of fun to watch in ACL. They're challenging for the league title, but they play up at Thammasat. I live for this sport, and I love coming to Bangkok to visit. I'm not going up to Thammasat to watch a game. I just don't want to do it again, you know? I've been up there a couple of times. I've seen the ground. It's fine, but it's not a place you want to really go and watch a game. Whereas I think if they were located almost anywhere else, I think they would have a better draw. So I think BG, again, I think is kind of showing one of the ways to do things. Port also has a really nice little compact stadium here in the city that's easy to get to. So I'd love to see more of that. And look, a running track's not a death sentence for me. I hate them, but like, I'll still go to a game, but not at Thammasat though.
I think we've probably just solved all the Thai football problems there, Ryan. Bangkok United's team playing at BG Stadium, they'd be unstoppable.
Honestly, look, just share a ground. Why not? Why not? I mean, it's up in the burbs. It's a little bit of a drive up there, but there are enough stadiums in the city itself. And I understand Thammasat gets used all the time. And I've been covering Southeast Asian football for, I think, 3 years now professionally. And I still haven't been to a match at Rajamangala because they just kept using Thammasat. So I know they love it. And I know that the Thai FA wants to use it, but please stop. Please stop. More ground shares in nice little intimate venues, I think, would go a long way. And it helps build a derby as well, you know?
No, I think you'll get a lot of people agreeing with those sentiments. And I think your only chance to get to Rajamangala these days is if you're an Ed Sheeran or Coldplay fan. You're guaranteed.
I'm waiting for Blackpink to come back, man.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for them.
Anyway, that's been absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on, Ryan. I appreciate it. I know you're very busy. And like I say, it's an honour and a privilege to have you on the show. I've been a bit of a follower of your work for a number of years. So thank you for taking the time to do that. And hopefully we can chat again in the not too distant future.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, and love to come back and chat footy again.
Two wonderful sort of reports there, Dale. Really enjoyed it. Tim, yeah. I agree with the fans' pricing. I made a slightly flippant comment today. Fans at the moment have got three choices. You either put up with it, you stay at home, or you sneak in the home end. It's not ideal, is it, Dale?
No, it is a shame. It does cast a bit of a cloud over the thing. Because, as I said in my interview with Ryan, you know, I do enjoy going to that ground, and I know a lot of people do. But 2.5 times the price for away fans, can they really justify that? I'm not sure if they can. It's something that I think probably as fans need to rally against it, don't we? I know in England we had the 20 is plenty campaign a couple of seasons ago, and it's made a slight difference, I think, to the way away fans are treated and certainly how much they're charged at games. Something similar in Thailand might work, because it's, you know, for me, it will put people off for sure. You know, I don't doubt it.
It'll put people off, but will they complain? I think we both know the answer to that. By the way, you don't need an app as such. You sign up for an online account and then you get your tickets through that. They download them onto your screen and you take a screenshot and just show it at the gate. It's a bit of a faff around, but it does work. And it's very quick, ordering beers with the same sort of system, you know, scanning. And by the way, Tim, we can tell there was plenty of beer options with your report.
Did you hear the bits I left out, Rob?
Oh, blimey. Will Claire ever finish her crochet? That's the thing that's eating me away.
I don't think she will. I think it's one of these things just endless. But it's great to get updates. I do look forward to those every week.
And Ryan, by the way, was absolutely bang on. We're a spectacle it looks on TV now with that other stand-up. And I have to say, Dale, your boy's putting a great performance. Really good game to watch and a deserved 1-1.
And it was a massive point because, you know, things didn't exactly go our way at the bottom. It's very tight down there still, very tight. So a couple of wins. I said at the weekend when I was chatting to Tim, I just said we've got 3 home games left this season. Win those and we'll stay up. The 2 away games are Port and Muntong, which I'm not very confident about. But the 3 home games, I think we've got to be looking at 9 points from those 3 games. And that'll see us safe, I think.
I wouldn't rule you out getting a point at Port, but I wouldn't like to pick the 3 at the moment. Honestly, it's like picking 3 out of a hat of 6, isn't it?
Good win for Police Terror at the weekend.
Great stuff. And Pratchett, what a run of form they're having, by the way. Sorry about that.
Oh, don't worry. I'm not Madame Pang, you see. I can be neutral. That was the other talking point this weekend, her turning up at Port on Friday night and addressing a massive crowd outside the stadium in her Port shirt, which is not a good look for the chairman of the TIFA. I don't care what anybody says, it's not. And she should know better, really. We've defended her on this programme. We've said we'll give a chance, and I still believe that to be the case. But that was a massive own goal for me on Friday night. And people can say, oh, it's cultural, people this, that and the other. But for me, no, bang out of order that.
Well, it doesn't bother me so much. She's got an apartment behind the home end. She's a Port fan. You can't rewrite history. Everyone knows she's a Port fan. As long as it doesn't affect her thinking when she makes decisions. I'd rather have somebody passionate than somebody who doesn't care.
That's fair enough, but how do we know it's not going to affect her decision-making? You know, I would think every single person involved in football, whether they're a player, a coach, an administrator, whatever they are, they will have an allegiance to a certain club because that's how football works. It's how you deal with that. And, you know, we all know she was at Port and we all know she's a Port fan, but now she has to be neutral. She has to give that impression at least. And turning up at the ground in a kit, addressing a crowd of a few hundred people outside, playing Songkran with them, chanting into a microphone, and then being photographed at the game wearing a Port shirt is not a good look. I don't think you can defend that. I really don't. If she'd have gone like she did to Korat, and we're going to come to that game in a minute, if she'd have gone in a civvies, you know, acknowledge the crowd, that's absolutely fine. Don't have a problem with that at all. But turning up, behaving the way she did, wearing a Port shirt when she's the chair of the TIFA is not on, not acceptable at all. And nothing that anybody can say will make me change my opinion on that.
Yeah, I knew it hit a nerve with your tweets this week. To be honest, I'd rather she did it as chairman of the FA because she was a pain doing it when she was in charge at Port.
Anyway, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I mean, she could very well be wearing a Nakhon Ratchasima shirt next week. Anyway, on to Nakhon Ratchasima, and I managed to catch a word post match with. I did label him the happiest man in Thailand, and I think he must have been. This is Russ John. Not long after he'd finished celebrating Nakhon Ratchasima's title win on Saturday evening.
A Thai Football Podcast interview.
So here he is, probably the happiest man in Thailand right now. Hiya, Russ.
Hi, Dale. Great to be speaking to you again. Yes, I'm pretty well happy, yes.
When we spoke last time, obviously everything was pointing towards this match being crucial, and that's the way it turned out. And what an occasion and what a result for you.
Yeah, I mean, Dale, these are my thoughts. It was a real tactical battle. And full marks to Nong Bua, good, strong physical team. But I think what determined the result was Nong Bua knew they had to win. And I think that the Swat Cats would have been more than happy with the draw, as I would have, because then we could have just gone to Canterbury and won it. And what happened was they were throwing 5 men forward all the time. And our second and third goals were a direct consequence of them not having enough defenders, and we hit them on the break. And in fact, the 3-0 was quite a flattering result. On balance, Nong Bua probably had 6 or 7 decent chances. The Swat Cats had 3 and they took them. So, you know, that's the name of the game, I suppose. Good win at the end.
That's the way it happens, isn't it? We've all been to matches like that. I should say at this point, I'm not actually a fan of head-to-head to decide final places. In my opinion, it's a league, so it's how you get on against all the teams in that division. But I get what you mean, and it did make a big difference yesterday. And it was more like a cup tie, wasn't it, in that respect?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I mean, as you can imagine, you know, it was not quite a winner-takes-all, but the pressure was on Longbourn. You could tell.
And I suppose the crowd as well was incredible, wasn't it? That must have played a huge part in it. I mean, they must have found that quite intimidating. I've been to their ground a few times, and I always love going there, but it's, you know, it's very polite. It's like the third day of an English county cricket match played midweek in front of a few dozen people. So if you're not used to it, that must have been quite difficult.
Absolutely, Dale. Dale, I mean, I'm speechless at the fans at Karat. I'm absolutely... cannot put my finger on why they can attract 24,000 fans when the second and third teams in the Premier League are struggling to get 4,000. I don't know where it all comes from. You know, people keep asking me, well, what is it about Karat? I don't know. I think it's just a football city. It's a football province, and that's it.
Or there's nothing else to do.
I wouldn't say that.
No, I'm being unfair.
I take your point. But do you know what I mean? There's something there. I sometimes wonder, what is it that they do to make it happen? The marketing's okay, but it's nothing special. Madame Pang was there. I don't know if you knew Madame Pang presented the trophy. I think she would have been very impressed with what she saw there, because it was just amazing. I suspect, and you know I'm going to mention the famous Buriram game when there were 30-odd thousand, there were more than 24,000 in that ground, because there were about 2,000 fans standing, you know, on the periphery, mainly guys standing up drinking beer, you know. So I reckon it was more like 26,000, actually. But why can't other teams replicate it, Dale? If the Premier teams could get averages up to about 10,000, the whole damn thing would explode. TV would want it more. There'd be better atmosphere. But I can't see it happening.
It is difficult to imagine, isn't it? But like you say, the fact that Madame Pang was there and she saw it firsthand, hopefully she's had these conversations with people at the club and asked the questions you've just been asking. You know, what are you doing? Yeah. How are you attracting people to the match? Yeah. Pre-game, we were estimating between 10 and 15,000. And you said, I think you tweeted, didn't you, that they'd sold just under 12,000 tickets the day before. So that was looking as if we were going to get that. But to double that on the day itself was incredible. Now, I know last time we spoke, you banned me from using the word potential. but again, this just highlights, doesn't it, the potential that is there.
Dale, I'm going to be contentious now. Swatcats have got the biggest fan base, including Buriram, in the country, period. Now, why some entrepreneur with loads of gosh can't see the potential and come in and attract some decent players? I can't drop any names, but a past manager at Nakhon Ratchasima told me that his mate, who's a manager of a top team, had 10 times more money to spend on salary than the Swatcats did. That was some years ago. If there's no investment, they're going to be 10th or 12th in the league next year. You know, that's it. And of course, what will happen? The crowds will die off again. So there you are. We've got to have some investment. Otherwise, we're just going to be another provincial club, you know, and I want more. So there.
No, I think you make some very valid points. What you say about the fan base is absolutely spot on. I mean, it's a large city. It's a large province. You're the only club of note in the province. There are one or two further down the pyramid. But this is it now, isn't it? It's how to sustain this and how to keep the momentum going of what we saw yesterday. Now, I don't know if you're aware or not, because this happened 15, 16 years ago. BEC Terrell were planning to move to Karat. Someone like Brian McCarr, who's quite an astute businessman, and at that time they were still one of the top three or four clubs in the country, and he'd obviously seen that potential there. And then you would have had, you know, the fast track to a top flight team. I mean, I'm glad it didn't happen. I'm glad you came up through the divisions. And we talked about this last time, how you were watching them in the Northeast third division and then the second division and then the Premier League. But this has got to be it now. Hopefully they've learned the lessons from last time. And as you say, it just needs that investment now. And you will get crowds like, if you're top of the league, you will get crowds like that every week, won't you?
Every week. Now, can I just say, obviously, I was at the first promotion to the Premier League. Was it 8, 9 years ago? And I think, obviously, the club now is a more mature club. Back then, we were just a tiddly little team, weren't we? From tier 3, tier 2, joined the big boys. But now I think we've got behind us 7 or 8 years of Premiership tenure, and I think we're more mature as a club. But I still think if there's no money available, it's all going to be wasted. Or am I being pessimistic? Maybe I am.
No, I think you're being realistic. And I think the other thing we should mention is the away support. Now, you know, I noticed this in Chonburi and Bangkok. Because there's a lot of people from the province who've moved elsewhere for work. I used to joke about Lam Shabang. You know, you'd see more Swat Cat fans in Lam Shabang than you would Chonburi yes. fans. Yeah. And so that's another thing. You know, the away following that they will take to games, certainly in and around, you know, greater Bangkok and a 50, 70-mile radius, they'll get huge followings, which will boost the league, won't it? Especially if you're doing well. You know, that's something else absolutely. To consider, how that
yeah, absolutely. Crowds
at other, for other clubs as well.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and as a club and as a fan, I'll be glad to sort of be supportive of the league in, as regards fans, you know. And it could well be that other teams sort of twig on. Come on, let's get our attendances up. Look to see what, I mean, we know what Borough Rams done, and that can't be faulted. But surely there must be something to learn from the Swat Cats. Okay, it was a top of the table clash, and there were half price tickets. But you know, and I know, if the Swat Cats are in the top 10 next year, the crowds will be 9,000 to 12,000 every week. If we were top four, oh, who knows? You know, I don't think it's going to happen. But if we were top four, you'd be getting 15,000, 16,000, 17,000. You know, we'd be up there with Borough Ram in terms of fans. Anyway, I'm going on, so I'm rabbiting on, sorry.
No, not at all. I think, you know, you're making some really good points. But let's go back to yesterday and the occasion. What was it like? It must have been a fantastic day from the minute you woke up to the minute you went to bed.
Dale, do you remember? I bet you were the same. When you were an adolescent, when you were a young lad, I'd come back from a Wolves game one weekend and I'd be counting the days off to the next match. You know, it's 6 days, 5 days. I was like that for the first time in Thailand last week. I was so excited. And I had a friend come up from Chanthaburi, unbelievably, for the match, Roger. We had a couple of beers. It was sunny. You know what it's like outside a ground when it's full? People milling about and singing and happy. You go into the stadium and wow, it's unbelievable. You know, when that stadium is full, it's a pretty dynamic atmosphere. And then, of course, winning, the celebrations afterwards. The celebrations are lovely. You know, I expended a lot of energy during the match, obviously. But the celebrations, I just sat back and relaxed and just watched. And it was so nice. You know, that feeling that it's all over. I booked my hotel for Chanthaburi next week. So that's a match where there's nothing on it. I can just relax and have a nice time, have a few beers, have some nice food in Chanthaburi. It's fantastic. Great end to the season.
Fantastic. Yeah. I mean, I've only seen photographs and videos and it did look a tremendous occasion. And you say, next week's, I think it's going to be a bit of a party atmosphere down there. You will get a lot of fans because it's not that far from Lam Chabang, Russ. So you'll have quite a few.
Oh, right from there. Yeah. I've got to say, it's a bloody 5 hours for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously, I think I said earlier that I've got a friend in Chanthaburi, so we'll meet up for that match as well. You know, it'll be his home match, so to speak, you know. But yeah, it'll be great. I'm looking forward to it. And perhaps get to sort of get close to the players. You see, because yesterday, you know, the 80th anniversary is like, although they let the fans on the pitch afterwards, you know, I'm a bit too old for that sort of malarkey. But I'm hoping at Chanthaburi they might come over, they might even have the trophy, and we might be able to mingle with the players a bit more sort of closely. That would be nice. That would be a really nice, pleasant occasion if it happens.
A lovely way to end the season. Will there be a parade through the city? I'm assuming there will be.
I've not thought about that, yeah. What they tend to do at Central Plaza, there's like an arena there. And you know, all the pre-season things where they show the new shirts and whatever. I suspect there might be a little bit of an occasion there rather than an England-type parade, you know, in a bus. I'm not sure if we do that in Thailand. I'm not sure, really.
I've done one. I've been, when Chonburi won the FA Cup in 2010, we had two red London double-decker buses going all round.
I remember seeing the picture, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's that would be wonderful. And it's a city that deserves it. You know, you'd have thousands out in the streets, wouldn't you? That would be something.
Tens of thousands, absolutely.
If they haven't considered it, you need to get in touch with someone at the club and tell them they need to do it.
Yeah.
Get yourself a place on the bus as well.
Get myself a... Okay, yeah. thought.
Anyway, thanks so much for joining us, mate. I think I speak for a lot of people when I say how, you know, we are delighted that you're back in the top flight. You know, you're a top flight club. I'm not going to say the P word again, but there's a lot going for you if you do things right. So hopefully this time, as you said, you know, you've learnt the lessons from previously and you can go on to be a force, because I think Thai football needs a club like Nakhon Ratchasima in the top flight with the crowds and all the rest of it. So really pleased for you, mate. Not just for your team, but for you on a personal level. I know you stuck by the team.
Yeah, thanks, Dale. I appreciate that, yeah. Fingers crossed.
I'll let you go, because you're probably still celebrating, and hopefully you can report in a couple of weeks on the open-top bus ride through the city.
Yeah, perhaps, yes. Yeah, great talking to you again, Dale, anyway.
Enjoy the celebrations.
Yeah, congratulations, Russ, and everybody up there in Karat. A massive victory, and what an amazing attendance. If I may just mention one or two things in the interview, Istan is the common denominator, Buriram and Karat, and you were right, Dale. There isn't a lot to do up here. People are passionate about the sport, and they look forward to it. It's never going to happen in Bangkok. I know Russ says, why don't other people invest? There's no interest. You know, it's as good as it's going to be in Bangkok. The one difference may be BG, but they're like in a separate city.
My nothing else to do comment was slightly tongue-in-cheek, but I agree, it does make a big difference, representing a whole region, and it's great to see them back in the top flight. As Russ was saying, you know, if someone was just willing to go that extra mile, put that extra bit of effort in, you know, you've got potentially, the P word again, sorry Russ, potentially the biggest club in Thailand, right there. I don't care what anybody else says. What Buriram have done is fantastic, but there's a limit to the support they can attract because of where they are and how small the province and the city is. Karat's the complete opposite of that. It's a massive city and it's got a massive area to draw fans from.
Do you think that investors might be a little bit more interested? And Madam Pang, as you mentioned earlier, her appearance won't have done any harm, because like it or not, she has a presence in Thai media. You know, that might interest some. But what if the current club owners don't want to sell? You know what egos are like here.
I really hope they do well. I genuinely do. It'd be good, not just for them, not just for the area, but for Thai football as a whole. I think having a strong Nakhon Ratchasima side in the top flight is something that will benefit everyone.
There's no reason why there can't be a top six club. No reason.
Before we finish on the subject of Korat, I'd just like to spare a thought for my good old friend Paul Hewitt, who used to traipse around the northeast back in the day when they were a third division regional side. He used to go to every game, home and away, with his little notepad and his rucksack. He's fallen out of love with Thai football in recent years, but nights like that, I think of people like Paul and the time and effort they put in. He used to run a website as well and promoted the club back then. And days like that, you know, you think back to the sort of the lifeblood of the club back in those early days. And I hope he's enjoying it anyway.
Yeah, got to second that, Dale.
Okay, on to T3 and back to your walk, Rob. We're going to introduce your roving report with the start of your walk and the end of your walk at your destination, which was Sisaket United against Bangkok FC. A much anticipated T3 playoff final, I think it's fair to say. So here's what happened.
Rob's roving report.
Yeah, good morning. It's about 10:45 in the morning and I'm about to set sail on my walk. Just over 21 kilometres because I'm going the safe way. Hopefully everything will be all right. I've got my good lady video in and she's going to be meeting me en route. First stop in about an hour for water. Thanks everyone who sponsored me and all the lovely messages that I've received. My mummy charity walk, plenty of donations coming in. Many thanks to anyone who has sent kind donations in to help save the village school at Suan Kluai, where I live. Anyway, I've stopped a couple of times for water and a cold towel. My coach, aka Dow, my wife, is looking after me. And now I've got 9 kilometres and about 2 hours to go. And it's a very hot afternoon. But I'm looking forward to the game. It's
So here I am, Dale, finished the walk, 21.2 kilometres. Thanks to everyone who's contributed and helped me. I am absolutely ruined. I won't lie. I'll give you a preview when we get in the stands. In the meantime, I need food and drink. So, Dale, the teams are due out any moment, and it's a far bigger crowd than I anticipated. All seats are numbered in the main stand. You have to go where you're told. Stricter restrictions on drinks. Everything in a plastic cup now. Sign of things to come in, T2. I was rather interested to see how this game would pan out if it was just an exhibition game, a bit like the Community Shield back home. But by the size of the crowd, you wouldn't think so. Both teams unbeaten in their league campaign. We'll see how it goes tonight in tonight's first leg. Well, we're in the 15th minute and Murray game's opening up here. Seats are getting dominant form. Great save from a long range effort by the Bangkok keeper, and then a header from Danilo flash just by. Great game, great atmosphere, and a good away following. Everything you want to see in T3. Half time here at Srinakon Lamdawan in Sisaket. 0-0, and what a great game we've been treated to. Both sides giving it everything. Sisaket in the ascendancy, the Bangkok keeper pulling off a couple of great saves. Sorry, there's not many reports, I'll be honest, I am worn out. But I'll do my best the second half, interrupted now by the half time draw. So, half time here in Sisaket. Sisaket United 0, Bangkok FC 0. Well, it's got a bit niggly this second half, and it's been nip and tuck, but out of nowhere, the number 10 for Bangkok FC swivelled and turned, the edge of the box, brilliant finish into the bottom corner. 1-0 to the visitors after an hour. Dale, 71 minutes, what a goal, the place has gone berserk! I've never heard a noise like it all season. Number 5 for Sisaket, played it wide, he got led back into him, hard and low. On the edge of the box, the keeper no chance, the place is going bonkers. It does matter, this playoff game. 1-1, 20 minutes to go. The noise I never thought I would hear here. What an atmosphere tonight. Sisaket turned down what everyone in the stadium, on the far side anyway, in the place thought was a penalty. Then Danilo misses a free header from the resulting corner at the back post. What a game of football. This can go either way. It's about 15 minutes including stoppage time to go. The visitors now with a long range shot, parried by the keeper, put back in by number 56. The lineman said he was offside. I'd like another look at that. What a game. 1-1. Dale, there'll be one or two T2 teams watching this game and fearing these two sides that have gone up. What a display of football from both of them. Plenty of niggle, plenty of attitude, two great goals, all to play for next week down in Bangkok. 1-1 the final score. The players must be ruined playing in this seat to such intensity. Anyone in Bangkok with nothing to do next Sunday, I highly recommend going along. 1-1 full time. Well, talking of North East football and Isan, the potential was certainly there because we thought there was probably 4,000 there. Incidentally, just as a side note, over 2,000 at Marisarikam in their playoff game against Patalung. So the North East is certainly a vibrant football region.
It's definitely on the rise, isn't it?
It certainly is, yeah. And the game yesterday was really good. And you know what? I think the highlight for me, apart from the noise, which I never thought I'd experience in that stadium, my wife's great-nephew, he's football mad, wanted to kick about with me when I stopped on my walk, which is exactly what I needed. My wife said, do you want to come to the football? He didn't even know there was a stadium in Towndale. He loved every minute of it. We got him a shirt. We dropped him off on the way home, and the first thing he said was, where can I watch the highlights on YouTube? That meant the world to me.
Now he knows where the ground is. Now he's got a shirt and somebody to go with, obviously. Let's hope he becomes a regular next season.
That's how it helps, because my wife says, well, I'll come again. Another family member start and go. And that's how you build supporter bases. They go and they enjoy it. You don't have to know all the fundamentals and everything. So just go and enjoy yourselves.
Hi, my name is Isaac, and I'm listening to a Thai football podcast.
Now we've come on to the two major domestic cup competitions in Thailand, the League Cup and the FA Cup, both been in the news this week. We've got the League Cup quarterfinals on Wednesday. So by the time this podcast goes out, depending on when you're listening, you'll either be anticipating the three remaining ties or mulling over the results. Last week, or the week before Songkran, Mungtong United beat Konkan United on penalties. So they're already into the semi-finals. So what about the three other ties, Rob?
I'm going to do my Mystic Meg bit for you. The remaining ties are as follows. Chiang Rai against Port. I wouldn't like to toss a coin on that. Ratchaburi BGPU. I wouldn't like to spin a coin on that. Or for that matter, Buriram against Lampoon. What are your thoughts?
If you wanted me to make predictions, I think Mungtong will go through. And the other three, I'm not so sure about. No, Port will be out for revenge, won't they, following the defeat on Friday night. So I fancy Port for that because it's realistically their last chance of a trophy this season. Buriram, you've always got to fancy Buriram. I can't see them losing. And the other game, I wouldn't like to say. Ratbury. I'll go with Ratbury. So that'll be my final four. Mungtong, Port, Ratbury and Buriram United.
And a Port Mungtong final, eh? That'd be nice.
It'd certainly be interesting. And then if the president of the FA turns up, we'll see what she's wearing.
Well, maybe a half and half kit. And where would they possibly play it, Dale, talking of venues as we're about to?
They'd probably play at BG Stadium, wouldn't they?
Probably, yeah. Behind closed doors.
And they've got more doors to close now, haven't they?
Yeah. One more stand's worth. Very good.
Thank you. I'm here all week. Talking of venues, the FA Cup final venue has yet to be decided, but apparently there are four choices out there, or four options out there, should I say. Yeah. And they've caused a bit of a stir, haven't they, on social media? So what are the four? There's Chonburi, Ratbury, Tero.
And Sepanburi.
Sepanburi, yeah. So they wouldn't be the first four names that came into your head, would they, when choosing a venue for an FA Cup final?
No, but nor would the four semi-finalists.
Very true. Now, I think it was Grant who made the point that the sponsors, obviously, of the FA Cup are Chang. Now, those clubs have close connections with that company. Certainly, Chonburi do. Sepanburi, are they still sponsored by Chang? They were for a long time, weren't they? Interesting options there. What are your thoughts?
I don't think that the Thai FA at the moment are in a position where they've got too many sponsors. You know, they want to bring more through, don't they? There's no problem to me looking after the sponsors. If they've got a specific venue in mind, I don't think it's a bad thing. You know, it's a way of maybe eking a bit more money out of them next season. And to be quite honest, I know that people say it's a big showpiece event, and it is. But on this occasion, can you imagine playing in a massive stadium with 1,200 or 800 rattling around inside? Far better to choose somewhere smaller. I would choose Police Tero personally.
Ratbury would probably be my favourite of the four.
Just somewhere that looks good on TV.
That's it. I mean, even Chonburi, you know, they wouldn't have to open the stands behind the goals. They could put people down the far side and in the main stand. And the atmosphere in those two stands is usually pretty good. The views are good. And as you say, you know, it will look good on television.
I know that it'd be nice to hold big events at Rajamangala, but the place is simply not available.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see, mate. See what they come out with in their wisdom. Wherever they choose, I think someone will be upset with it, won't they?
Undoubtedly. Yeah. They might change it for next season. Who knows what's going to happen next season? None of us have got a crystal ball.
Let's get this season out of the way first, Rob.
I think so. Let's see who's still standing at the end of this season and reassemble during the summer. Give the people in charge of the league and the FA a bit of scope.
That's it for this week. It's been a fantastic programme. So thanks to Reza, thanks to Tim, thanks to Ryan, thanks to Russ. It's been great having you all on. And Rob, once again, I'd just like to say well done, mate. Absolutely fantastic achievement. And I think you can go off now and have a well-earned rest. Put your feet up, tend to those blisters and just chill for the rest of this week.
I think so. Some semi-pro football in Ubon for me next weekend, I think.
Watching or playing?
I hope I'm not playing. There'll be... Mind you, having seen the performance of a certain player for Sisaket last night, I wouldn't rule it out.